Baseball pitchers are dropping their drawers. Managers were, you want to go? You know, Joe Girardi got a little bit, I thought kind of ridiculously heated under the collar. Scott Miller joins us, MLB columnist from, Sirius XM. And Scott, I'm not going to lie. I was watching yesterday and there was a few times like Max Scherzer was funny, but Sergio Romo was the Oakland A's reliever. You know what he reminded me of? He reminds me of the husband who walks into the house or whatever, and all of a sudden his wife's like, "I'm in the mood," and he's just hat off, pants are down. There's no hesitation. That's what Sergio Romo was.
Hey, hi guys, nice to be with you. Baseball's getting sexy all of a sudden, isn't it?
It's crazy, man. Like, here's the thing. Do they have to implement a rule that opposing manager, like, you can't just be, you know, if you call the guy out like they did to Scherzer and they find nothing, there should be some sort of penalty. I just don't know what it can be.
Yeah, in fact, Clayton Kershaw said that exact, he made that exact point last night after he pitched last night in San Diego and got searched as if going through TSA twice. And obviously, Clayton Kershaw was found clean. And after the game, he brought up the Max Scherzer, Joe Girardi thing. Somehow, even though Kershaw pitched last evening, he still was aware of, and it sounded like, had seen clips of the Girardi-Scherzer thing. And, yeah, that's what Kershaw said. He said, look, you know, we all knew this was coming. It is what it is. It's not that big a deal. The umpires want to check your glove and your cap and your belt coming off the field. Go ahead, have at it, whatever. But he said, I do think in the case of a manager like Girardi, when they've already checked Scherzer twice and Girardi asked for another time, Kershaw said the same thing. He said, I think there should be some repercussion for a manager. And Kershaw said, you know, I don't know what it is. I'm just thinking about this. He said, but perhaps, you know, maybe they lose one of their challenges for instant replay or something. He said, but I really think something needs to happen, especially when he said, you've got a manager challenging a pitcher of Max Scherzer's stature out there in public. He said, it just is, it's an odd and bad look for Major League Baseball.
Well, don't you think they're just trying to mess with the pitcher's head? Like, I'd be calling for it if there's no repercussions. I'd call it for it nearly every game. Like, especially when a guy's on a heater. Like, because some guys will get rattled and some won't. But if it even gets them off the game a little bit, why wouldn't you call it? Like, I'd be hands up. Let's do this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because the bottom line that sometimes gets forgotten, I think, more today than ever as we're discussing bat flips and let the kids play and sticky substances. I mean, the bottom line is to win the damn game, right? I mean, that's what sports is all about. So to your point, Jason, if I'm a manager and the opposing pitcher is rolling, especially if it's a guy like Scherzer, if there's no repercussions, you know, I'm looking for every edge I can get to win. And if the other guy's dominating my hitters, why not ask for something, and even if it's just to try to rattle the guy? Now, if the opposing pitcher's just throwing a bunch of cookies and my guys are, you know, hitting home runs and running up the, you know, rounding the bases, then I keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, I do agree with Strutty that it's an easy way to just, you know, try to rattle a pitcher a little bit. There's no risk. You know, hey, he touched his hat twice. Oh, look, he scratched his head. I'd like you to check him. And especially if a guy's rolling, you could try to get him out of his rhythm. Now, I think a lot of the pitchers will be like, whatever. But, Scott, I felt that Major League Baseball, for the first week, everybody's going to be on lockdown. So the players who were using this stuff are likely going to be smart enough not to use it. What do you think happens, though, in 2, 3, 4 weeks? Like, I just seem to think that I just don't know how often they're going to be checking them. What do you think?
Yeah, they're supposed to continue checking. But we've all seen this before, right? I mean, even I go back long enough to, you know, 1 year, I want to say early 90s, maybe late 80s, baseball decided we're going to crack down on the balk. You know, pitchers are not coming to a set, so we're going to crack down on the balk. And they did that. That lasted for a couple weeks, and it got comical. Ridiculous number of balks were called. It just kind of went away. And, you know, the same thing, I mean, what? Remember a couple years back when baseball, one of the many times they were trying to move the game along and increase this pace? Remember when they said batters are not allowed to leave the batter's box? In between pitches, you've got to keep at least 1 foot in the box. Otherwise, the only time you can leave during an at-bat is if you foul a ball off. You know, and that's kind of gone by the wayside. Nobody talks about that or enforces that anymore. So, you know, whether this becomes one of those type circumstances or not, you know, I mean, I would say this. If umpires catch a handful of pitchers, I think the enforcement will last longer. I think if, say, 3 weeks go by and we get zero ejections, maybe they begin to get a little bit lax with it.
Joined by Scott Miller, MLB columnist with Sirius FM, or XM, I should say. Scott, you know, when you look at this, do you think that this is the issue with the pitchers and the substances? Do you think it was as widespread as, you know, many people think that the steroid abuse was a decade ago?
It's hard to compare in terms of percentages to steroid abuse. I mean, I think it's close. The best way I can describe it is, now that us media members have been able to return to the field, at least those of, if you're vaccinated now, you can go on the field during batting practice. We still can't get in the clubhouse, but you can go on the field. The reason I bring that up is now I've been able to resume having conversations with different players, different coaches, different managers. And I can tell you this. I've had a couple people tell me they're estimating at least 75% of the pitchers are using something. That's number one. Number two, there's a belief more pitchers on certain teams are using it. In other words, like, you know, in some cases it's a concerted effort by teams to aid pitchers in doing this. There's also a belief that, you know, I talked to somebody the other day about the spider tack, and they said, well, I had a hitter tell me this and a coach tell me this, same thing, that they absolutely could tell when a pitcher was using spider tack earlier in the season. It's harder now, they say, with more fans in the stands, but early season, when you only had ballparks were only having, like, you know, 15 or 20% capacity, they said, the hitter said he was standing in the box, and you could hear when the pitcher released the ball, kind of a little ripping sound, you know, like the ball ripping away from the fingers. And a coach said, different conversation. I told him, a hitter told me that. I said, that's 60 feet away from the mound. What about in the dugout? Early in the year, before the fans started to fill up the stadiums a little more, was a little quieter. What about from the dugout? The hitters say they can hear it, and the coach said, oh, absolutely, from the dugout. We could hear. He said the first time, second time, it was kind of like, what's that? And then we all figured it out, and then we could absolutely hear when a pitcher was using spider tack. And, I mean, that's excessive. When you are standing in the batter's box or in the dugout, and you can hear the ball ripping from the fingers of a pitcher delivering a pitch.
Scott Miller joins us. Scott, what about National League pitchers who use pine tar on their bat when they hit? What happens? What do they have to do, wash their hands before they pitch?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. And I think the answer would be, yeah, they need to scrub it off. I mean, who knows? In the days of the pandemic over the last year, I'm sure every team has leftover Clorox wipes or wet wipes in the dugouts and clubhouses, and they probably, you know, are using that to wipe their hands. But, yeah, it's crazy. And also, I've had, you know, pitchers, you know, one pitcher wanted to know, you know, what about during day games? You know, we use sun, you know, just the innocent act of using sunblock, like on your arms and on your neck, if it's 90 degrees during an afternoon game. And the pitcher's like, you know, what if the sunblock drips or you rub your neck and it's on your hand as you exit the field and an umpire busts you with, bullfrog or copper tone on your finger. That you really, the only way you, if it dripped down during the game. And, you know, so there's also, I think there are a lot of unknown questions like that, and like the pine tar question you asked me. There are going to be some unintended consequences, because there always are. I'm sure somebody's going to get ejected who's pretty innocent, but something funny happens and an umpire thinks he's got something on his hands or his glove.
So, Scott, what about Ohtani? What he's doing, we really haven't seen this in like a century. It's amazing what he's doing. And like I mean, and I know his team's not very good, but I'm like, this guy would have to be the leading front runner for the NL MVP, for the MVP, would he not? Like, it's truly remarkable to see him pitching this well and hitting bombs like he does for fun.
It absolutely is, and I'm glad you brought him up, because I don't think we can talk enough about this guy this year and what he's doing. I'm also glad when you brought him up that you said we haven't seen this in a century. You're exactly right. I mean, and that's what I keep telling people. It's how remarkable it is. We have not, unless somebody walking among us is more than 100 years old, none of us have seen this in our lifetime. And not, I mean, and what I think is can't be stated enough is this isn't a guy, Shohei Ohtani, who is simply doing double duty as a starting pitcher and a hitter. It's a guy that's dominating in both of those crafts. I mean, he's the Angels' best starting pitcher. When he's on the mound, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. And he's up there among the American League home run leaders. Him and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. are dueling for that right now. I mean, it's just phenomenal what he's doing. And I think it's so much fun, because I think we put limits on different people in sports today, in life. It's like, wow, this guy does this. He can't do that. And I love seeing the limits taken away and a guy allowed to reach for the stars, reach his potential, whatever it might be, and not be inhibited by kind of phony limitations put on by other humans. And I think Ohtani is a marvel. And, you know, who knows? I mean, if he can stay healthy and keep doing this, it's going to open the door for others, and I think that's great.
Always good to catch up with you, Scott. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the season and what's going to happen in the coming few days when it comes to Major League Baseball pitchers and the pat-downs that they receive from the umpires. Some of them are going to be pretty comical, for sure. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.